Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but hold your calls for the time being. We have with us John Kaminsky on the line, and John, of course, is an internet columnist. He, of course, has written a number of articles that are up on the internet, and of course, he talks about America's autopsy report. He talks about the things that are going on in our society. His articles are provocative, and so I've asked John to come on to our program and share some of his thoughts with you. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Well, of course, I was listening, reading your article about essential maneuvers to forestall Armageddon, the next step. Certainly, that's a very, very provocative article. You've written a lot of provocative articles, haven't you?
Well, it's easy to do nowadays, isn't it?
Well, I think that you have to be very, very foolish to see what's going on and not realizing that we're standing on the edge of a huge precipice. In fact, it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago when Stephen Rhodes, the senior economist for Morgan Stanley, had given a private briefing talking about how America had a 90% chance of a financial Armageddon. Now, this is the chief economist, one of the brightest and smartest people who worked for Morgan Stanley. And only this last week, he gave a very, very similar approach, saying that Alan Greenspan has brought us to the brink, the whole world monetary system to the brink of collapse and a financial Armageddon. He used that word again, the same word that you're using in your article about the Armageddon we face.
Well, I wasn't talking about the financial Armageddon, which seems to be coming. I was talking about the real deal. There was something in the LA Times in the last couple of days that I thought was very interesting. It's the first time the notion has cracked mainstream media. Robert Scheer did a review of that wonderful BBC series called The Power of Nightmares that makes the assertion that Al-Qaeda is really the dream of the neocons, and that when you consider all the people who've been arrested and the tiny number that have been convicted, that this BBC documentary concludes that this Al-Qaeda group may consist only of a few dozen people around the world who have been designated by Washington as our enemies, and here we've spent trillions of dollars ostensibly to track these people down, and yet when you analyze where that money went, it didn't go to catch crooks. It went to Bush's friends who are military contractors. So we're being dragged down financially by the people in power are really criminals, and the mainstream media are their associates, and the American people are being robbed blind.
Oh, you know, it's really so interesting. Somebody once said that there's nothing new under the sun. Actually, it was Solomon. But I was reading an article, a speech that Major General Smedley Butler had given back in the 1930s. And he was talking, it's entitled War is a Racket. The basic theme is wars are fought to enrich certain people. And then, of course, we see what's happening with Halliburton. We see what's happening with Bechtel. We see that the certain favored people, favored by our government, big donators to the politicians, are getting all the contracts over there. Hundreds of millions of dollars disappears. We don't know where it's gone. The military contractors are making out like bandits, and American buyers are dying, just as it was when Major General Smedley Butler was talking about war being a racket. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is John Kaminsky, who is an internet writer and a columnist. He puts out some very, very interesting things. John, what's your website so people will know how to get in touch with you if they'd like to?
www.johnkaminsky.com. That's johnkaminsky.com.
And, of course, John writes articles that are picked up by many other news services and put up there. And John is very, very concerned about what's happening in America, as am I. He's concerned about what's happening to America morally. He's concerned about what's happening to America economically. He's concerned about what's happening to America from the point of view of what's going on over in Iraq. I thought we went over there to bring democracy to the people, not to kill them, not to destroy their cities, not to turn the Iraqi people into our enemies. You know, when we first came in, many people were very happy because they were glad to be rid of Saddam Hussein. But how do you think the people of Fallujah feel today when their city has been half destroyed, most of the houses, are just rubble. The streets are filled with water and dead and rotting corpses, and the animals are eating the dead corpses there, and nobody seems to be around to get them buried. We've created chaos in a number of cities. Now, there's some of the cities that we haven't created chaos in, and that's where we haven't gone in and tried to put down the local Arabs who are trying to run the cities. And about every place we go in, we insist if we install our people. Alawi is a CIA puppet, just as Salabi was, and we seem to be insisting we're going to have an election. But, of course, it's our candidates going to be running. In fact, nobody, of course, really represents the Iraqi people who are going to run, because if they try to run, why, they get shot. I wonder, is this just happening by accident? Could we possibly have created this amount of chaos simply by stupidity? The first thing we did, we went in, we dissolved the army after promising not to. Then we dissolved the police force. Then we fired everybody who knew how to make the water system work, and the electric system work, and the sewage system work. And then we wondered why we had chaos. And, of course, anybody who worked for the Americans, because the Americans came to be hated, was immediately attacked by the Iraqis. What are the Iraqis going to do? They have no work. They have no businesses. The whole system is beginning to collapse. Their money is not worth nothing. These people have been impoverished. Isn't it wonderful when America comes in to bring freedom to the country? So what's your take on it, John?
Well, Stan, I think you know that this is business as usual and has been conducted in this way pretty much throughout the 20th century by the American government. I just had occasion to, before I came on the air...
Hold that thought for just a minute. We're going to bring our other stations right back on with us right now. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest, of course, is John Kaminsky, and John was just talking. Go ahead, John, pick up your story there.
I was glancing at your book, Brotherhood of Darkness, before I came on the air, and though we use different terminology, we have pretty much the same take on the influences that are creating all these problems that we face in the world, and it's because there is a power behind the throne. The people who are in Washington are not the ultimate authority as to what is happening to us in the world today. There's people behind them, and they get to approve who is president. Their power is reflected in the last couple of elections, when a lot of people thought that maybe the person who wound up in the White House really wasn't entitled to be there, and now that's happened again, because they have a certain plan that they're trying to accomplish. And one of the aspects I've been hammering on in recent weeks is that the American people just refuse to recognize the evil that we're perpetrating in Iraq. I mean, we've killed 100,000 people. Saddam never killed 100,000 people.
And I think, you know, the thing that makes me realize that already this whole Al-Qaeda phenomenon is really a scam is it was just before the elections, I think about the 30th of October, something like that, when then this man, this figure, this mythical Osama bin Laden, sends a video which the CIA immediately verifies, and Osama bin Laden is talking about, you know, how this is all the decision as to what happens to America is in the hands of the American people. And he talks about George Bush, you know, sitting in the classroom there reading about the goat to the people, almost like Osama had been watching the Michael Moore film there in his cave. And then he made one statement. He said, you know, the Americans have lost a thousand people, a thousand men killed, and 20 some number of casualties, and we've lost 10,000 Iraqis. Now that's the CIA's official figure. You go up on the internet and type in Iraqi casualties, and it'll come out 10,000 to 15,000. Go onto the internet and type in on Google 100,000 casualties. You find out what they're talking about all over the world. So everybody, other than Osama bin Laden, acknowledges there have been 100,000 Iraqi casualties. That would be people killed by the Iraqis, people killed the military, the civilians, the bombing, the accidental deaths, and there are lots of them there. It's a tragedy. I don't think our soldiers are intentionally killing, but when you're in war, why a lot of people get killed needlessly and unnecessarily. So why is Osama bin Laden using the CIA figures for the Iraqi casualties rather than the figures that are being used throughout the rest of the world? I think that everybody should ask that question.
That's very telling.
Yeah, in fact, you know, anybody who studied Osama bin Laden knows he was financed by the CIA all during the 1980s. And, of course, he was financed after that by good friends in Saudi Arabia. And they are still financing this whole terrorist movement today. So if the Saudis are financing it, and we're financing Saudi Arabia and protecting Saudi Arabia, I thought that anybody who was helping the terrorists was with the terrorists. But of course, the American government, the Bush administration, is doing everything they can to prevent any lawsuits being brought against the Saudis for their involvement in financing the 9/11 attack. If they weren't involved, it'll all come out in court. Why is the Bush administration protecting the people who all the evidence shows financed Al-Qaeda and the attack on 9/11?
Well, when you start talking about who's who, and you talk about the U.S. and the Saudis, you need to draw the flow chart a little more in depth, and you'll find a point of convergence in the world's financial institutions, which seem to be in London, and there are interesting connections between the Saudis and the Israelis, between the Israelis and the Indians, between the Pakistanis and the Iranians, and we're being buffeted by really forces that are kept from our vision. We can't really see who's driving the boat. We have Bush get up there, and he makes a fool of himself on camera and tells lies after lies. But he's just repeating what he's being told to say. He's not in charge of anything. He is as Clinton was, he's the pitchman of the bankers.
But at least Clinton was a lot smarter. I don't like Bill Clinton, but he was a lot more intelligent. He was very much more charming. Whereas, of course, I'm a little embarrassed when I see our president give a press conference, and you realize that he has the answers to the questions that are going to be asked by the reporters already written down for him. And if somebody asks a question that is not scripted for him, he doesn't know the answer. In fact, I remember the last press conference I saw where the president said, gee, I wish you'd asked that question beforehand so I could come up with an answer. At least he was honest about it. But, you know, it is really an embarrassment. But yeah, I think John is absolutely right. Our political leaders are simply fronts for the real power, which works behind the throne. And we're looking, of course, at Rumsfeld and Cheney. And, of course, they're taking orders from somebody else as well.
Yeah, I found it very interesting how the networks jumped all over the tsunami tragedy. And a lot of people began to think about all those bodies that were piled up in Fallujah that never saw the light of day in the United States, because it's just as big a tragedy as it is in Iraq, as it is in the Indian Ocean. And the difference is that maybe we didn't cause the tragedy in the Indian Ocean, although there's plenty of speculation that we did. But we definitely caused the tragedy in Iraq, and the American people's failure to realize that just makes them complicit in a very terrible crime.
And, of course, men and women do become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. We went into Iraq Well, I thought we were going that we were fighting terrorism, but Saddam Hussein wasn't financing terrorism. In fact, he was keeping the terrorists out of his country. He did not want to do anything at all that would provoke a war with the United States. He was an evil and wicked man, but people have forgotten. We financed Saddam Hussein all during the 1980s, and if you read the book written by Robert Baer, who was with the CIA, called See No Evil, and I think we still have it, he will tell you that every Iraqi he met believed the United States was actually continuing to keep Saddam in power, and Baer, of course, wrote openly that we were intentionally allowing him to smuggle oil in violation of UN restrictions. And all we'd have to do would be to call Jordan and Turkey and say, stop allowing Saddam to smuggle oil tomorrow. And we refused to do it. You have to ask yourself why. And every time the military tried to overthrow Saddam in the 1990s, why we betrayed them, that the officers were arrested and tortured to death. Why would we keep Saddam Hussein in power unless, of course, we were planning on a war and we needed him in power to justify it? Because he's a very easy man to hate because he is an evil and wicked people, but aren't the people who keep Saddam Hussein in power and of course, betray the military that's trying to overthrow him, aren't they as complicit as Saddam Hussein?
Sure. Before the Iraq War happened, there were comparisons between Saddam and Hitler. And now that Saddam is gone, the comparisons are between Bush and Hitler as civil liberties in this country continue to disappear.
Well, of course, the thing is that they're using the threat of terrorism to take away the freedom of the American people. But it should be so obvious that the administration really doesn't believe that there is a terrorist threat, because if they did, every pilot would be armed, and they've done everything they could to block arming the pilots. Every plane would have marshals on it, and only about 5% of the planes have marshals on them. They would stop preventing the airlines from profiling people of Islamic origin. Now, I'm not again in favor of profiling anybody and discriminating, but after all, if we're really involved in a war against Islamic terrorists, wouldn't it be logical to be suspicious of Islamic people coming onto your planes who might be hijacked? Oh, no, we can't. In fact, any airline that tries to profile Islamic people, if you profile more than two Islamic people getting on that plane, why, you will be sued and punished by the government. That's why we have to profile little old ladies getting on the planes and attractive young ladies to be patted down by the people working for the government. You would think that there was really a danger of Islamic terrorism. We would have installed long ago decoys and anti-missile facilities on every commercial airliner. It could be done for a couple of $1 billion. Far less than we waste, every couple of weeks over there, or every couple of months over there in Iraq. None of those things are being done. We're not trying to seal the borders. We're not guarding our rail lines. We're not guarding our chemical plants. We're not guarding our nuclear plants. We're not guarding, the plants, the facilities we have that the terrorists could attack. And there's not been one attack in America in over 3 years. You have to ask yourself, is there really a war on terrorism, or is the war really being waged against the American people? What are your thoughts on that, John?
Well, of the thousands of Muslims who have been arrested in the U.S. and Britain since 9/11, there have been no convictions connecting the guilty parties to Al-Qaeda. They convicted a couple of kids from Lackawanna, New York, for going to Afghanistan, and they tried to railroad a couple of convictions in Detroit that were overturned. They still got Mousawi on the hook, but he appears to be just a nutcase who was probably planted by the CIA just to try to convince people that there were actual hijackers involved with 911.
And it's so interesting that there was a connection between Mousawi and, I think it was, who was that fellow who was beheaded over there, the first one who was beheaded over?
Berg, yeah.
Berg. And Mousawi and Berg seemed to know one another. In fact, Mousawi had Berg's a password on his computer or something. I've forgotten which way it was, but obviously, yeah. What are the chances of Mousawi and Berg, who happened to be beheaded by four or five men, in fact, somebody had put him in, Berg, into an American prison jumpsuit, and then they took television pictures of him just before they beheaded him. But everybody thinks, who's really studied this, believes that Berg was working for the CIA. So why was he beheaded? What was his relationship to Mousawi? Did he know too much? Well, there are many unanswered questions. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, John Kaminsky, and of course we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-800-464-8295. John, hang on. We'll get to you as soon as we get back here from this break. Our four tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinix is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
And this is Dr. Stan, and we'll be right back in just a moment here with them. Well, I guess this afternoon is John Kaminsky. Well, John, you know, as we talk about, most Americans really believe that we are under threat from terrorism. Far better to be fighting the terrorists on the street of Baghdad than on the streets of New York. Is that a valid explanation for why we attacked a sovereign country that wasn't involved with terrorism?
No, most people know that they were lies, that they had no connection to Al-Qaeda, and that they had no weapons of mass destruction. I think there's a growing awareness among the general populace that Bush has told a lot of lies about a lot of things. And it's funny because having been involved with the 911 skeptics movement now for quite some time, the movement itself seems to be, I don't know, it's hit a gap. And there's a lot of frustration that we haven't been able to crack the mainstream media, which is totally bought off. But amongst ordinary people, I notice a new willingness to accept the idea that we haven't been told the real story about 9-1-1, not even 3 years afterwards. The panel that Bush convened turned out to be a circus and didn't ask any of the hard questions. And now that we're into Iraq and we're losing a lot of our own boys and girls, and with a draft looming on the horizon, I think despite the best efforts and kind of failure of the 9-1-1 skeptics movement, I think nevertheless that the skepticism is creeping across the country. And of course you won't read about it in the newspapers that have a blackout on all those stories, and you won't see it amongst your elected representatives who are paid by many, many lobbyists and many forces never to mention anything about that. Nevertheless, ordinary people are watching all those 9/11 videos and reading the 9/11 stories, and I think that a groundswell is just beginning, a second groundswell, that their government is lying to them, and as a result of that, all our lives are in jeopardy.
Well, I think that there was a Bill First, who's the Speaker of the Senate, is saying that he wants a law passed that anybody who's skeptical about what's going on today would be considered mentally ill. In other words, if you believe that there's a conspiracy in government, you're mentally ill. That would be a, you know, and you should be placed on medication or perhaps institutionalized. He's actually suggesting something this incredible.
Isn't that beautiful?
And I think that the American people must understand that we're dealing with organized evil at the highest levels of our government. The ultimate goal of all of this is to bring about a world war and then a world government. And that's how they're going to get the American people, of course, to go along with this idea of giving up our national sovereignty exactly as they've done in Europe. And even after all the wars and horrors they've had over there, there's tremendous opposition to this idea of the New World Order. But it really doesn't matter what the people want. The leaders of both political parties are intent upon having this globalism, this New World Order. And, of course, they've simply bought off so many of our congressmen with either bribery, or they have something on them, or they're offering them fabulous jobs when they leave office. For instance, one of the congressmen who actually got this legislation through for the drug bill, which is going to be very, very profitable for the drug companies, he's getting a job paying $600,000 a year with a $200,000 bonus. That's a lot more he even made as a congressman, and he still gets his congressional salary. Now, talk about this. It's just falling into good luck. Isn't that good luck for him?
That's the Dick Cheney formula.
Well, you know, I think the American people have to understand that they're bribing the members of Congress. Oh, we wouldn't do something like that. Of course, how many people really think John Kerry got almost $200 million and President Bush got almost $200 million to run for the presidency and put on this dog and pony show, and the people who put up all that money didn't expect to get something back in return?
The problem is that there's no law enforcement in this country. It's a two-tiered legal system. If you have money, you can commit any crime you want. If you don't have money, you can go to jail for nothing.
Well, of course, I think part of it, though, is the elite. For instance, Martha Stewart had lots of money, but she's not one of the elite. And so she would go to jail because they would target her and make an example out of her for a very minor sort of thing that happens every day. In fact, I would dare say that if anybody in the audience and I was to call you today and say, look, that stock you're holding, it's probably going to fall out of bed. You better get out of it. How many of you would sell the stock if I, you know, if you believe me and I told you that? So they send Martha Stewart to prison, and they let people perjure themselves and lie and involve us in wars that kill 100,000 Iraqis and over 1,400 Americans, and that's just in Iraq. And that just includes those killed in combat, and over 30,000 casualties today. And, of course, what's done to them? Why, they're great heroes. We got real problems in America because people seem to have lost a moral foundation in right and wrong. And, of course, loyalty to country does not mean loyalty to government. We'll be back here in just a moment with John Kaminsky right here at Radio Liberty.
ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon is John Kaminsky, K-A-M-I-N-S-K-I, and you can go to his website. Is it Jay Kaminsky or John Kaminsky?
JohnKaminsky.com.
JohnKaminsky.com. We've got Fred calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Did you have a question for John?
Yes, I want to make a statement. I finally heard last night on a talk program the fellow that somebody has been able to trace the money from the put options that was put on American Airlines,
right.
And they have traced that money back to a man who was a officer in Deutsche Bank, and he was also a CIA operative.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
And they have his name. It was a something like Buzzy Kavanaugh.
Yeah, Buzzy. That's actually old news. That's Buzzy Krongard.
Yes.
All right, John. Do you know anything at all about that?
Mike Rupert reported on that about 2 years ago, actually.
Okay. Anything else, Fred? I think it's fascinating they're bringing this up.
I thought it was quite interesting that it's just kind of stalled at that.
Well, he's a front man. He's not an investor. He's simply a banker who was somehow involved in the transactions. There are people who are close to the connection. The connection has not been made public, but the name Carlyle Group keeps surfacing amongst certain whispers.
That's an interesting name, isn't it?
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you what the one thing is. They cannot let the American people know what happened on September 11th because the thought is too horrible to contemplate that they would know that the attack was coming and not try to stop it. I mean, think of the implications of that.
That reveals the real America, Stan.
That's what come out of last night's program was that that we knew.
Which show?
That this was somebody knew this was coming.
I think government. I think probably the best statement I can think of comes from the book See No Evil by Robert Baer, who worked for the CIA for many years. And he said one of his best friends had talked, reported off the record to one of the highest people in the CIA, who said, when the dust is finally settled, why, the American people will realize that 9/11 wasn't a failure for the intelligence service. It was a triumph. 9/11 wasn't a failure for the intelligence service. It was a triumph. How could it be a triumph when 3,000 people were dead? How else would you get the American people to be willing to go into World War III? That, of course, is my interpretation of that. The book, See No Evil, I think we still have copies of it. If not, if we'll get you copies of the page, you can read it yourself. Isn't it amazing that Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw and of course, Rush Limbaugh didn't tell us about that remark? Anything else, Fred?
Yeah, I just want to ask him, if they know that this guy is the front man, why can't they trace him on down to the money people? Is it all the Carlyle Group, or...?
Who's they? Who's they, Fred?
The news media, if there is such a thing anymore.
Fred, they don't want to trace anything because they only implicate themselves.
The thing is, if you work for the media and you do a real good job, like Gary Webb did, remember? He actually did a series of articles for the San Jose Mercury going into how the CIA was involved in drug smuggling. And, of course, he was forced out of his job. The CIA, of course, made sure he couldn't get a job any other place in the country. Anybody wanted to hire him, the CIA would go to and tell him not to. And, of course, he shot himself in the head twice recently in the process of committing suicide. Not once, but twice. He just wanted to make sure he was really dead.
Okay.
Anything else, Fred?
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to John, who's calling from Tennessee. Hi, John. Do you have a question?
I believe you interviewed Lindsay Williams, who said that the oil companies were nationalized and bankrupted in 83 due to government regulation, and that this was a hostile takeover by the Europeans.
I don't know that he ever said that. I don't recall it, John.
Well, today Homeland Security is wrecking the airline industry with this insane regulations. Is this another hostile takeover in progress to nationalize the U.S. airlines and give them to the Europeans?
I have no comment on that. Do you have any thoughts on that, John?
I think there's a hostile takeover of the whole country going on.
I think that's probably right. Hey, thanks so very much for calling, John. And, of course, that was John from Tennessee. And, of course, I do not recall Lindsay saying that. I certainly think that the airlines are in real trouble here in this country. Southwest Airlines, interestingly, is doing very, very well because they're not heavily unionized. I hope that, and of course, the people at United, the pilots United, I think, have taken a third cut in pay. And that's just the beginning. I think that people must understand the plan is to impoverish the American people. You'll get the same amount of money from your Social Security. It may not buy a loaf of bread, but you're going to get the same amount of money. You'll get the money from your pension fund, but it may not buy a pair of shoes. And this is how you destroy the nation, by destroying a currency. And then you've actually written about that, John, haven't you?
Yes, we're well on the way to that. You just have to look at the euro.
I had a gentleman call me today, and he told me he'd come here from Hungary 20 years ago, and he's been working for 20 years to accumulate money so he could go back to Hungary and he could buy a house and get married and of course live there throughout the rest of his life. But he said, you know, with the dollar falling almost 50% over the last couple of years, he can't even buy a hovel there. He could have bought a very nice home before. He can't buy that because, of course, the value of the dollar is docked. Dropped almost 50% in reference to the Hungarian currency.
Well,
the average American doesn't understand what's happening, but when the day of reckoning comes and he realizes what happens when you destroy the economics, the currency of a nation, at that point some of them are going to wake up and realize, but then it may be too late.
Yeah, it will be.
What are your thoughts? What should people be doing at this time, John? And how can we begin to counter this control over our monetary system by the elite?
I think we need to regain control of our local governments. People need to wake up. They're not waking up fast enough. They don't realize the danger that they're in, and they don't realize that it is the local governments who should be able to take control. Now, the feds have walked in everywhere. There's a new plan to federalize all the county sheriffs, in the United States, and that's really the last line of defense the citizenry has. If that happens, there's probably no hope at all. But in order to regain control, well, we've never had control. In order to get control of the government, we need to have honest people in local offices, and we don't. All levels of government in the United States are as corrupt as the federal government, if not more so, as we just saw in Ohio, where there were all sorts of voting irregularities and they were all swept under the table. Nobody would look at it. The Congress wouldn't look at it. The media wouldn't look at it.
And even John Kerry wouldn't challenge the election.
And even John Kerry wouldn't look at it.
Well, I suppose when you belong to the same secret fraternity that your opponent does, they were both members of the secret Skull and Bone Society. Both of them were pledged to the same oaths. Both of them had, of course, embraced the same dark, sinister, occult foundation, because the Skull and Bones is a secret occult organization with strong Nazi overtones. And, of course, it came from the same origin that the Thule Society, which energized Adolf Hitler. And yet both of these men have never renounced the loyalty to this organization, which supersedes any loyalty they could ever have to our country or to God. Why don't they simply renounce their membership? And I would feel far better if they would, and if they would be willing to talk about it, or not even talk about it, but renounce their allegiance to this secret occult organization. And neither one does. Maybe that's why John Kerry didn't bother to challenge the election.
I think there's the telling event coming up in the very near future at the inauguration, where I know for a fact that there are millions of people who are going to the inauguration to express their dissatisfaction with what's going on. And I think I'm worried for those people, because I think there's going to be a crackdown. I think a lot of people are going to get hurt. A lot of people are going to get thrown in jail because the administration knew. It's like they almost have a zero tolerance policy for free speech, as we saw at the two conventions. And as I say, even though the weather is going to be cold and that will limit the turnout, I think there's going to be some serious problems there, because a lot of people are upset with what's going on, and that's going to preview how the next 4 years is going to go. And I think there's going to be a terrible crackdown on all dissent, and I think a lot of people are going to get hurt.
Well, there is a music group that's going to perform there, which apparently is totally vulgar. It's a Roth, I'm not sure, Kip Roth or something of the sort. Maybe somebody could call in, but I saw about that. Why would they have a vulgar occult performer at the inauguration of a Christian president? That just doesn't make sense.
Is he a Christian?
Kid Rock is the name.
Kid Rock.
Kip Rock, something like
yeah,
that. Sort.
Kid Rock,
and he's
yeah.
going to be performing there. So, you know, I think that, certainly, I would think the inauguration would be something that you'd want to be proud of. And I certainly would not want to bring in somebody with very questionable credentials to perform for the inauguration, the American inauguration, as we bring in a new presidential term.
Fascism.
Well, anyway, here's John. Of course, now, I think the major problem we have is educating the American people and making them realize that there's a great deal that can be done. I really sense that there is an awakening across America. I just hope it will come in time. I think that what we have to do is undo all the brainwashing that the people got in their universities and in their high school. And then, of course, the constant brainwashing that they get from Rush Limbaugh and from Bill O'Reilly and from the controlled opposition, because they have their liberals on one side, and then they have the establishment conservatives on the other, and they argue back and forth, but they never talk about the real issues, the sort of things we talk about on our programs. And this is how the situation is manipulated. They keep idle minds busy, and people sit there entranced as these people quarrel back and forth on television, but they never talk about the important issues. It's sort of like during the election, when neither President Bush nor John Kerry would talk about the process of globalization, the planned program to transfer our jobs and our factories and our wealth overseas. They never mentioned it. John Kerry never mentioned it, because both of them are dedicated to this process of globalization and gradually lowering living standards here in the United States.
Yes, that's all true.
Well, John, of course, what are some of the other things that you'd like to talk about? You mentioned in your one of your articles that people in one of the states are actually creating a new currency in their own state to try to circumvent the control by the international financiers of the American monetary system.
There are a number of communities in America, Ithaca, New York, Lexington, Kentucky, where merchants have banded together and developed their own. It's almost barter, but you get scrip for it, and it is an alternative currency of sorts. I don't think any municipality is yet totally dependent on it, but it's people reaching out to try to get out of the clutches of the Federal Reserve System, which, as you know, is a very difficult thing to do, and it's a totally capricious situation because we don't have any input into our own currency. And This is the point I try to make and you try to make when we say that throughout the 20th century we've kind of given up control of our government because the money has been controlled by a private corporation. And those are the people who tell the president what to do. And they are running the country and they don't give a damn about anybody. They just want to make as much money as they can, and we see the result in the world today, where there is chaos everywhere because chaos makes them money.
Well, I think there's a fascinating fellow out there. His name is John Perkins, and he actually was part of the inner circle of he called himself an economic hitman. Have you read his book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman? What did you think of that?
It's fascinating. It shows the nature of the war that the United States is waging on the whole world. They seek the United States. This is what the American people don't realize. The people who run the United States and also run most of the European countries want to enslave the whole world by controlling everyone's money and controlling everyone's product. And even a more sinister aspect, with the development of genetically modified seeds, they want to control the actual lives and snuff out a lot of lives around the world by causing these manufactured starvations. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many people are suspicious about the recent tsunami. First of all, it was anomalous on the seismographs. Second, I've never heard of a 9.0 earthquake. And it was originally broadcast as something like the earthquake station in Jakarta called it a 6.4, but the earthquake station in Hawaii first called it an 8.0, then invented a new scale which enabled them to raise it to a 9.0. So all of these strange behaviors have gotten people to look at other things like nuclear tests and exotic new forms of weaponry. And there is a creeping suspicion among people who seriously read the news that the tsunami was actually caused by someone. And if that's the case, this would easily be the greatest crime in the history of the world, because you can't think of another situation where 150,000 people were deliberately killed in one fell swoop.
Well, I would say that the creation of a new disease, a new type of organism for mass killing, would be quite comparable to that. We have the testimony of Dr. MacArthur. Dr. MacArthur testified in 1969 that he wanted $10 million to create a new form of a disease for which there'd be no immune response. And some people thought they really shouldn't do it because, this would be a new means of mass killing, but he wanted to go ahead and develop it. And he could have it ready in about 5 to 10 years, maybe 5 years. And about 5 years later, the first cases of AIDS appeared. Now, they weren't recognized until 1981, about 10 years later, but they actually, of course, were there. AIDS has killed 20 million people. We've not tried to do anything to stop the epidemic. We've spent millions, billions of dollars. We keep talking a good game, and how are they trying to stop a sexually transmitted disease? Why we're handing out condoms that are defective. Now, why would you do something like that unintentionally?
And we're creating drugs that are actually killing more people.
Amen to that. And so I think that that's quite comparable. Maybe not quite as dramatic, but they're certainly just as diabolical. Well, we've got Tony calling from SoCal. Tony, we've only got a moment. Did you have a quick question?
Two questions, one for each of you. I'll make it fast. If proof did come out that this were man-made, and the proof pointed to the U.S. government, would that justify another country declaring war on us and attacking us? And second,
absolutely.
And then I'd ask you, Dr. Stan, would this be the completion of Philip Drew Administrator? Thank you.
Well, Tony, you can't ask a question that complicated at this point, but let's hope and pray that this was not man-made. I certainly will not speculate because I don't know. Hey, John, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been
a real pleasure.
And again, it's johnkamansky.com, John, K-A-M-A-N-S-K-I. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us. Bye-bye.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me talk about a few of the books we have, which I really think will help you to understand what really happened on September 11th. Now, one of the best books we carry is called The Terrorist Timeline. It's written by Paul Thompson, and it will give you a day-by-day, a week-by-week, hour-by-hour scenario of what led up to September 11th, all sorts of information that is available in the regular media. None of this is top secret information. For instance, did you know that one of the terrorists turned himself in and said, look, I'm with a group trained in Pakistan, trained to hijack your 747s, and we're going to crash them into your buildings, and what did the FBI do? Why, they got him out of the country as quickly as possible. That was April 20th. And, of course, you can go to April 20th and read the terror timeline, Paul Thompson's terror timeline, something everybody should have who's concerned about what's going on. War on Freedom, which, of course, is written by a gentleman over in Great Britain, an excellent summary of everything that we know about it. Inside Job by Jim Maher has tremendous information in it. And, of course, we also carry the book Cover Up by Peter Lance, and Cover Up by Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and September 11th, Prior Knowledge by Dr. Dennis Cuddy. This information is available. Of course, all of these books can be obtained by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Again, the book, The Terror Timeline, the book Cover Up by Peter Lance, which goes into the downing of the TW-800, probably a very different approach to it, but there's no question that this was not an explosion in the central fuel tank. Certainly the War on Freedom, Inside Job by Tex Mars, and of course, September 11th, Prior Knowledge by our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and these books together will give you a tremendous insight into what you'll never read in your local newspaper. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener supported, and we're primarily dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us. As we reach out 5 hours every day by radio, 5 hours every day by internet, 5 hours every day by satellite, and 4 hours every day on the by shortwave, to try to educate the American people to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And you really can't understand what's going on in Iraq today, You can't understand the attack on Christianity in America. You can't understand why the Bush administration would give the Alabama Attorney General William Pryor, who destroyed the career of Judge Roy Moore, why he the Alabama Attorney General William Pryor would be rewarded by the Bush administration with an interim appointment to the federal bench as a reward for destroying the career of a man who, the crime was he wanted to acknowledge God, and he said, I will acknowledge God. And why did the Bush administration give William Pryor the interim appointment to the federal bench? Or maybe nothing as it appears today. Maybe the people, the Christians of America, are being manipulated. For reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. Well, we hope many of you, of course, will want to get some of the items that we carry. So we carry the book, The Terror Timeline, by Paul Thompson. Gives you an hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute, second-by-second analysis of the events that led up to September 11th. Probably the single most shocking information, and of course it's all information in the public record. Terror Timeline is available. We're finally able to get it. Cover Up by Peter Lance goes into the downing of TWA 800. Perhaps a different approach to it than you've read before, but there's no question they lied to us about what happened at the TWA 800. The only question is, what is the true story? Cover Up by Peter Lance gives you an entirely different approach, but there's no question that, of course, there was an explosion aboard that plane, and it didn't come from the central fuel tank. Cover Up by Dr. Dennis Cuddy, we carry it too. It tells you all about those children in New York City, the Pakistani area of town, all brought their cameras to school on September 11th so they could take pictures of the attack on the World Trade Center. But all shucks, the FBI that has and the CIA at $30 billion, they had no idea the attack was coming in America. They thought it was going to be overseas someplace. But all the Pakistani children knew about it. All the cab drivers stayed home that morning because they knew the attack was coming, but the FBI and the CIA, they're just so incompetent. But you know the most amazing thing? Within 24 hours of the attack, they knew who all those hijackers were, and they had their pictures and their biographies. Isn't that amazing? They could be so incompetent one day and so wise the next. Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, September 11th, Prior Knowledge, we recommend if we have in stock. War on Freedom by Jim Mars, an excellent book. Jim Mars has done a lot of great investigative reporting. In fact, he had the book all set and ready to be published by HarperCollins, and somebody gave instructions that even though they'd already paid Jim Mars a large retainer, why, of course, they weren't going to publish the book, and they didn't ask for the retainer back. They just paid him off all the money they promised to give them and gave him back the rights to the book. I wonder why. And then, of course, that's Inside Job by Jim Mars. We have so many excellent books that will give you an understanding of what happened. If there was prior knowledge, and if they allowed the attack to happen, and if they left those 3,000 people there to die, and if they put out orders to the people in the South Tower to stay at their positions knowing that another plane was coming to hit the building, think of the implications. And how would you explain this other to understand? We're involved in a spiritual battle against truly evil forces that certainly are dominating our society today, and it's being covered up by the media. And if you doubt that, you need to get the book, The New Media Elite. That's The New Media Elite. It's available by calling Radio Liberty 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.